WildTalkRadio.com.
The following program is not intended for children. It contains mild language, violence, sexual innuendo, wink, wink, brief nudity, and deals with mature themes that some may find offensive. Parental discretion is advised.
The Wild Talk Radio Network now presents The Evolution in Online Sports Entertainment.
Hey, everybody, this is X-Pac with D-Generation X.
Hey, this is the Rated R Superstar, a.k.a. Adam Copeland, a.k.a. Edge.
This is everyone's favorite wrestler and mine, Rob Van Dam. You're listening to me because you are listening to Wrestle Talk Radio.
Wrestle Talk Radio.
Who's ready for story time, baby?
Hosted by Tim Stein.
Best there is, the best there was, or the best there ever will be.
The intern, Kane Kittens.
I am the best in the world at everything I do.
Special guest host this week, local indie wrestler Keishi Matsunaga.
I'm better than you, and you know it.
And the producer, Sir Rockin.
Acknowledge me.
Live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Don't stop listening, or I will find you. I know where you live. I have Google Earth.
WTR Sunday Night.
And remember, it's okay to play with yourself. As long as you have an action figure.
And during the few moments that we have left, we want to talk right down to earth in a language that everybody here can easily understand.
A lose last night. That had some wrestling. This is WTR Sun and also Talk Radio live right here on the Wild Talk Radio, WildTalkRadio.com, RockRadio.com, Twitch.tv/WTR Live chat. If you have Amazon Prime, link it to your Twitch account. It's called Prime Gaming. Support shop by clicking the purple button below the screen. You can use credit card Rock and Talk in the Fortnite item shop when you buy the Batmobile. Because hashtag epic partner. I am the producer, joined as always by the intern.
I mean, we're talking the original Batmobile, right?
Yeah, the 1989 Batmobile.
Ah, the Keaton one. Nice.
Yeah.
And also, Rock, it's good to know that you know what show you're on when you're doing your plugs.
I know, because I looked over at OBS and there's a Mac screen right up above where the WTR one is. So,
but no.
It's all the same. We have also one Keishi Matsunaga.
This is the best Palooza since Alapalooza, in my opinion.
Ooh. Quite the argument that can be made there. And then we have the one and only Tim Stein.
I don't know. I think this was the best Palooza since Rockpalooza. I'm just saying. Hey, everybody. Good evening. Welcome to WTR Sunday Night. You heard Rock tell you that we're on twitch.tv/WTR Live. Join us in the chat room because, you know, we interact and stuff like that. Except for the intern, because he's not in the chat room.
No, not right now, but I could be later.
Eventually, he might be. You never know. So, join us. We're here tonight to talk about WrestlePalooza.
Yes, we had a WrestlePalooza full of stuff.
A bunch of paloozas.
Things happened.
We had one big surprise on the show that was a legitimate surprise. And you saw it on her face. Was like, no. No.
Well, he's sitting there, and you start to see it progress, and then it's like, oh, God, what are you doing?
So the big surprise was revealed when The Undertaker came out in between one of the matches. And he's doing one of these bits where, you know, he gets to sit in the crowd for the first time, because that's never what he does, and he sings next to Stephanie. And from what Triple H says, she thought it was a surprise because her birthday is in a few days, so that they were messing with her for the birthday. And then when
get everyone to sing her happy birthday or something, you know,
something like that. That was the ruse she thought was happening. Oh no! It was announced that Stephanie McMahon will be going into the WWE Hall of Fame in 2026. To a legitimate surprise. Because you
couldn't hide it. They got to have Jericho induct her.
They floored her with that announcement. Like, as soon as that announcement hit, you just saw the look on her face of just, like, both extreme shock. She's happy at that moment as well, but she's probably in the back of her head going, I'm going to kill Paul. I'm going to walk to the back and kill my husband.
Yeah, with some of the shit that she's pulled over the years, she's got no right to think that.
The best part is they got Mark to do it, and Mark, you know, got sidelined by all of this in the past. So it's like, you know that Paul went to him and was like, so Mark, I want you to do something, and he went, oh hell yes, I'm doing this. Payback's a bitch.
Yeah, I was about to say, you had me at payback.
But I mean, if we want to be fully transparent, she deserves it not only for, you know, she was a very predominant talent on screen for a long time, whether it was, I mean, a former champion in her own right, but also just her role as an authority figure that spanned years, and from where she started being, you know, Vince's daughter and, you know, playing the kind of sweet, clueless girl who was put into the whole Ministry of Darkness mix, and then coming into her own right as an authority figure. And plus, I mean, all the stuff that she did behind the scenes for the company as a whole, that alone would deserve her recognition, because being chief brand officer, all the work that she did behind leading things, yeah, she did a ton, and fans should be appreciative of it because it helped get the product to where it is today.
Pretty much, yeah, that's pretty much how that went. She was a role as lead writer for head of creative for a while. You know, many different jobs she held in the company. So it's a well-deserved induction. So we'll see that in April in Vegas.
And I mean, Tim even brought up, like, she has memorable segments of her and Jericho, her and Hunter, her and Taker, her and Angle. You know, she has been a memorable part of the company.
Yeah. So yeah, that was the big story of the show. Show opened with the destruction of John Cena.
Well, the one thing I will say ahead of that is, boy, do you think ESPN wanted to make this feel like a really big thing on their network?
They tried.
With the whole lead-in package, with all the stuff that happened even before the show, with, what, two pre-shows, essentially?
There was a Road to WrestlePalooza on Friday. There was a Road to WrestlePalooza 4 hours before the show, leading into the main show. And there was Sports Center hits. They were all over television the entire week, hyping up WrestlePalooza.
They made picks on, like, game day.
They did. They made predictions for John Cena and Brock Lesnar on game day. Their highest rated show of the day. They tried. They hyped it huge. There were Sports Center socials were tweeting about the show. They went out of their way to make it feel like a big deal, and then the match happened. And it just
the poor children who came out with John.
That was great. By the way, that was a great
entrance. I don't mean like.
No, I'm just saying
that coming out was poor, but just having to watch what happened after
watching the obliteration of John Cena.
the kids in the crowd crying afterwards,
just bawling their eyes out. Some of them.
Well, and the thing was, like, the kids coming out to with Cena. I messaged you. I'm like, this is peak babyface Cena. We're hitting all of the high notes for John Cena on his exit. So
yeah,
we got to see, like, Make-A-Wish John, and, you know, him bringing out all, I mean, I'm not saying that the kids were, but it's, you know, he has a long history with the organization, and then he's been a kid favorite for a long time. So yeah, having a bunch of kids out there, and he's running and doing, like, each side of the stage celebration, and yay. And then, yeah, the bell rang, and holy God, the beast mauled.
I mean, he got a little bit in.
Yeah, he hit three straight AAs, and Brock kicked out.
Go ahead.
Tying back into our conversation previously, that I don't mind but only because it's Brock Lesnar, and he's been known to do that forever.
Yeah. Well, and then we saw the opposite of that take place with Brock hitting, what was it, 5 or 6 F5s in a row?
Something like that, yeah.
Yeah, no, that opening match did not do the PLE any favors, but I think that there's a little bit more to it. There's got to be a rematch. There's got to be a rematch for Johnson. Now, here's the thing. He's beat Brock once in his entire career.
Twice? I think the thing said they're 5-2.
No, I thought it was only once. Anyway, okay, well, there it is, right? And it's too bad that they had this as the opening match, but the storyline is there. And, you know, call it a crazy fan conspiracy theory. We find out tomorrow night, storyline, John's injured and can't fulfill a date or two. Shut up and let me finish. It extends his time in WWE. By a couple of weeks.
No.
They have the rematch and he finally goes over Brock. That's the crazy fan conspiracy out there right now. This is not mine.
No, he has 5 appearances left. There's no extension. The next time you see John Cena's crown jewel in Perth. That's the deal.
I will also say the whole thing of, like, if you have an extension, then it undermines the entire thing of I'm done at the end of the year. The whole tour has been I'm finishing out at this point.
The last time is now. Yeah.
And the thing is honestly, they've already marketed what the last date is. And so if it did get extended, you very much run the risk of
pissing off all the people that dropped money down for that last night.
I was going to say, technically fraud.
Well, the card's subject to change, so there's a loophole.
I get that, but they can say you marketed and you put everything out there to say this will be the last. It's the same thing with Ric Flair's last match when he did that. If he comes, Flair steps back into the ring, everyone will go, nope, you absolutely said this was your last time. And so therefore, you purposefully defrauded the public in that respect.
Not only the public, the city that bid for the match, because Washington D.C. put in the bid
last match,
because Boston wasn't gonna. They wanted to go to Boston, but Boston didn't want to pay the money because they knew it would be too close to the holidays, and they weren't going to recoup the money putting in the bid, which is why I went to Washington D.C. That's why Boston gets it in November, not in December. LeMans commented earlier about $30 for the app and still getting ads. Yep, pay $15 for Netflix, still get ads here too on a live feed. Ads are the reality. You're gonna get ads in everything you do in 2025. No matter
unless,
if you pay
unless
for
they have a special thing that says no ads.
You can pay for the no ads Netflix and you still get ads. At this point, that's where we're at. It sucks. But you really can't do anything about it. But the match, it killed the crowd.
It hurt the entire product.
You probably thought you were going to get more of a back and forth. You were going to get more, because we've seen the Brock Annihilation. We saw that SummerSlam before where he just hit 14 German suplexes. And we were like, okay, that was a destruction.
But that was Lesnar at his peak. The Lesnar was on a run at that point. This is Lesnar coming back. And what are we doing with Brock?
Well, and the other part of it is, when you have that much of a beatdown, it makes everyone feel uncomfortable generally. Like, you watch that kind of thing and you go, I shouldn't be seeing this.
The retirement tour is supposed to be about, like, big moments, and you kind of want to have some positivity going to the end. Cena lost to Cody, but everyone thought that was a really good match. Everyone was high on John Cena. Then he followed it up with a good match with Logan Paul and a good match with Sami Zayn. So it's like everyone's on this high of John Cena's looking good. And then
obliteration.
And now it's like, I don't want to see a rematch. I don't even want to see John Cena fight if that's what we're going to get.
Well, and now it's the whole thing of like, is this going to be part of a storyline of like, okay, yeah, maybe it is my time to go because I just got obliterated. But as you talked about, we have 5 guaranteed days left, and we know 2 of them are PLEs.
and one Saturday night's main event.
Which is the final.
Yep.
So
and then you got two Raws, which you would assume he's wrestling on both shows because they wouldn't book Madison Square Garden if he's not going to wrestle in Madison Square Garden for a last time. And he's going to wrestle in his hometown one final time. So there's five matches left. Kind of rough. Because now you're like, what are we doing?
Well, like you talked about, the question is, okay, Brock destroyed Cena. Now what?
Yeah.
Like, we don't want him pointed at Cody, because we've already seen it. And Brock already did his little, like, pay of tribute respect at the end of that, if we remember. He's not, in theory, going to go after Seth, considering that we got that buddy-buddy moment of Heyman and Brock. So I don't think it's going to be, hey, I did your intro, and now you're going to go against the guy I'm currently, you know, in the corner of. I definitely don't want to see Brock versus Punk as like a Heyman throws him up as an obstacle kind of thing, because we've already seen that as well, and that was a while ago when we saw it, and even then I think many people questioned that judgment.
I don't know, Cage. Is there anyone you want to see Brock fight?
I mean, I don't know how they would book matches again. Like, it'd be interesting to see, like, Bron Breakker versus Brock, but I don't know how they build to that.
Especially with Heyman working with both of them now.
Yeah, unless it's like a little bit further down the line where there's like dissension in the vision, but I don't see that happening anytime soon, so that doesn't seem to make sense. It's interesting to see them kind of bring Brock back and give him this like super beast build up with no real like inkling as to what they're gonna do with him.
It's weird, because who knows when we see him again. He could just be gone for a month.
Yeah, he could be, because I mean, he's done it in the past, so it stands to reason he maybe just came back to beat up John Cena on his retirement tour and then, you know, disappear back to Canada for a little bit until he decides he's ready to come throw someone around again. I don't know.
And
He did the AJ Memorial thing of beat up John Cena.
Yep.
He beat up John Cena. But I will say he was the right opponent for this event. 100% the right opponent. Because he was the brand name for ESPN. That was his purpose.
Which could be the only reason they brought him back, is to do that. And then, you know, because he has that background in ESPN style sports, is like, you know, this big bruiser guy, they just maybe brought him in and be like, see, Brock Lesnar still shows up and beats the crap out of people.
Yeah, because ESPN was not delving into any the stuff around him. They were hyping up Brock Lesnar. It's, I don't know, it's a weird spot to be in. So we talked about this on Thursday, and I'll just go around the table. I thought we would get some sort of angle. I thought Cena would win, and we would have like, hey,
the next call out.
A next call out. So we're 3 weeks out. No Cena appearances. Who comes out the next couple of weeks and goes, I want John Cena at Crown Jewel? Who's that guy? Go around the table. Brent first.
If you're going to do it, I mean, it is Crown Jewel. He doesn't have a history, but he has a tie with the area. And maybe it steers more towards who the final opponent is going to be. I'd pick Bronson. Have Bronson Reed start to call him out, because he can say, like, I've taken out Roman Reigns, I'm going to take out John Cena. And, you know, Bron Breakker can get the, you know, then Bron can call his shot for whenever it's going to be, whether it's Survivor Series or the final match, to get the, you know, the penultimate victory on John Cena. But I would say if you want to do something, you put him out, that you put Bronson out there, because you can have that tie-in with Paul Heyman of like, yeah, Brock took you out. He doesn't need, you know, Brock's moved on, but I have another beast that can, you know, try and finish the job now. You know, John, you won't make it to your last two dates.
All right,
and then you can have the crowd either cheer or boo Bronson Reed, and then, of course, get the cheers for Cena on his way out.
All right, that's a vote for Bronson Reed versus John Cena Crown Jewel. Casey, who does John Cena fight at Crown Jewel?
Well, I mean, the argument for Bronson Reed is actually fairly sound and can make a lot of sense. Especially, you know, you've got him being connected to Australia. There aren't too many other guys on the roster that have that tie, so it works. Trying to think of who else. I mean, I guess you got 3 weeks to build it up, but off the top of my head, you could maybe do Drew because he's kind of in that sort of main event tier, so he could kind of come out and call him out. I don't know how you work that in after he just lost to Cody. I don't know how you tie that in, but that would be one that would work because he's, you know, kind of main event talent. What else would there be? I mean, yeah. And you mean you could have John, if you tie back to Bronson, you could have John say he, you know, wants to go after Seth, and Seth being like, well, I'm too busy. Here's this guy.
But go first. You have no John.
Yeah.
Wait, I have a backup plan. I'll let Tim go.
Yeah, but there's no John Cena in this.
There's also a chance that maybe Gunther is back in time.
I mean, Gunther is a chance. All right, that's a few names from you. Tim, what about you?
Oh, I don't even know where to go with this one.
Just pick a name.
Yeah, it could be Bronson. It could be Braun. It could be Gunther if Gunther gets back in time. Who's active in wrestling right now that has had any kind of history with Cena that we haven't seen yet?
Doesn't have to be a history. Can it be someone new? Go be Trick Williams.
Yes, I know that. It could be. But I'm just saying, who's out there that he might want to do a one more time with that isn't retired, isn't locked down to another company? Because he's had a couple of them on this farewell tour, right?
Just pick a name.
You know, I'm thinking Drew, but at the same time, I don't see it happening.
Okay, there you go.
Okay, so I was thinking along Tim's line there, who else has history with John Cena that we haven't seen yet that would fit into this role? Someone who may not necessarily need as much build. I referenced the line earlier. He can do it one more time. He can beat up John Cena, and you would get a good match out of AJ Styles and John Cena because they have the history with them.
The problem is, said that's not happening. So
here we are. Just putting the name out there.
I know, but I'm saying I think they shot that down, and which is why he did the Styles clash, because he wouldn't be able to fight AJ at this point. Also on this show, the Vision of Bronson Reed and Bron Breakker took on the Usos with an added change. We had a special referee in L.A. Knight.
Yeah.
Yeah.
L.A. Knight was a great ref.
Yeah, they had some really good moments.
I love when Bronson's, like, about to swing the chair and you just see Knight going like, nah, can't do that. Then Big Jim gets the chair and it's...
He's like, yeah, whatever, I'm going over here.
Yeah, Big Jim, he gets the chair and he's like, ah, screw it, go for it. And you just see Braun in the ring going, huh?
He made it clear he was against everyone but Jimmy.
Yeah, he hated everyone. Jimmy's cool. Jimmy got his back. And we did see teases throughout the entire match of the fact that the other three had their problems with him, especially a certain Yeet. They never connected, but there was one or two moments where they teased, like, that chair shot or, you know, that run into the referee.
Yeah.
And you just saw Knight going, don't you fucking do it.
Speaking of chair shots, didn't Jay bust himself open with the rebound of that chair shot on Bronson or Braun?
Yeah, he got busted open the hard way.
Yeah.
And he is apparently... he's in the concussion protocol at this point.
Whoops.
Well, it was really weird too, because it's like he did that, and for a second it was like, you're sitting there going, wait, what? And the camera cuts away and it comes back and he's just pouring on his face. And it's like, wait, did we miss something?
Well, have you seen any of the, on social media, any of the fan uploaded videos?
Oh yeah.
The damn thing bounced back and the chair, like the foot of the chair, cut him. It went right into his head.
But I just meant like live when we're watching it, where you're like, wait, huh?
What? How do you get bloody? Yeah.
Yeah. And I mean, because it was a good cut, too. It wasn't one of those where, like, you know, AJ hit his head coming out of the entranceway, and all of a sudden, you know, there's, like, a spot of blood. Like, this was coming down his face, and it was just like, oh.
No,
oh,
this was a crimson mask of the 80s.
Yeah, I'm like, oh, that's Eddie Guerrero, you know, from, what was it, No Way Out, where you're like, oh, that's not good.
Or that one time when Vince was wrestling and bladed himself too deeply.
Hmm.
Yeah. He wanted to be one of the guys, but unfortunately, too badly.
Oh, he really fucked that cut up.
Braun also was kind of about three different colors by the end of this match, too, when you looked at his chest. There was some contusions there that it was just like, oh, I hope he ices when he gets to the back.
Yeah. Lorenz goes, they need to stop, need to point the bronze in the direction of the tag title since Judgment Day is once again treating them like paperweights and stop feuding with the Usos already. It's stale.
I don't know if the tag titles do anything for them, though.
You would have the Vision holding belts, all of them holding belts.
And that's a direction you can go, but...
I think they just need to obliterate... It's one of those things where it's like... Don't get me wrong. On SmackDown, the Wyatt Six have the belts. I would contend the Wyatts don't need the belts. Because for their roles, for their characters, why would they be chasing championships?
I would rather see the Wyatts be destructive, play into the evil side of the whole gimmick of their, you know, faction, and go out there not to win anything, but to punish their opponents.
And I would contend that's exactly how the Bronze should be. It's they just go out there and lay waste to everyone, and Seth has the title. And like, because to me, the whole thing about if we put the belts on you, it means eventually you're going to have to lose them. With the Bloodline, it was all about power. It was all about everyone, you know, enriching the family, which is why, you know, the Usos went after the titles and held it for that long, because it was, we're going to absolutely, as a family, dominate this thing. I feel like with the Vision, it's all about Seth Rollins, and these two guys can elevate themselves, but they're meant to just wreck whatever is in Seth's way.
Also, sticking them in the tag division would take away from the goal of what they're trying to do with them, and that's make them upper mid-card to main eventers.
Yeah, if you give them the tag belts, then it's, okay, in order for people to fight them, we're going to have Roman tag with someone in order to do that. And then the question becomes, well, do we want Roman and whoever to have the belts, or is it just, well, this is a stopgap?
Because right now, with the way they're being positioned as the guys who main event Monday Night Raw every week, either in a singles match or a tag, putting them in the tag division makes them a mid-card act when the goal is to be main event acts. And that's a tough position. But I may be wrong on that fact. And since no one's disagreeing, we'll move on.
No, I think that's on par with that. And I mean, like you said, they've main evented Raws. You've had the matches where it's like Braun and Bronson, and you know, they're, and it also helps to elevate whoever's going against them, like Penta, because they've been, you know, trying to strap the Rocket to Penta, and he's been a fairly big name on Raw, right, Rock?
Yeah.
So if you have Braun versus Penta as a main event on Raw, it feels like, okay, no, this is a pretty good matchup. You can have shenanigans out the ass, but at least it feels on paper like, okay, yeah, we're getting a main event for that. And LeMay, I think there's other ways you can elevate the tag division. It doesn't have to be we're going to stick the Bronze in there. I mean, yes, you can do other things to enhance the division, and should they? Sure. But I don't think it's, let's take these two guys, throw them in there. Because again, if you put them in the tag division, in theory, they need to win the belts. And if they do that, then you have hamstrung them into that.
And then they have to lose the belts.
And then they have to lose it, which people will go, oh, you've been pushing them, and now you're going to have them lose the titles. That completely, you know, jobs them out. And it's like, it's a no-win situation. It's a zero-sum game in that point.
And or it then turns into the Bronze versus Usos in a tag team championship rivalry.
Which, after what we saw yesterday, I don't know if we want to have extended feuds with these guys. Nothing bad with the match per se, but it's just like, it's not Usos versus New Day, and even then, they would have a couple of matches and cool off.
Yeah, no, I saw that tag match yesterday as basically a precursor setup for the big match coming up eventually down the road between Jay and LA.
Yeah, I don't think they want to do the Lucha Bros right now. I think they want to keep Penta as a solo. They showed what they wanted to do with Rey Fénix, and unfortunately his partner couldn't keep himself employed.
Unfortunately. The Women's World Championship was on the line with Stephanie Vaquer Io Sky.
I was so wrong with my prediction on this match, and one of the few times where I was absolutely perfectly okay with it.
I want more of this match. I know they fought two times before and ended in no contest, but this was the right way of doing a finish.
Oh, this was so much fun. This was such a good match.
Although the finish was a little questionable, as I mentioned to Rock on the night of.
A little bit. But the entire match was so good, it's excusable or forgivable or whatever adjective you want to use.
Oh, these two just went out. They saw the first two matches and said, all right, we're setting the bar. And holy shit, did they ever.
Oh, yeah, definitely match of the night. Yeah.
Stephanie came to work. Io was having fun. And it was one of those moments of like, okay, if Naomi had to give up the belt and you had to have two people to fight for it, yes, these are two really good people to fight for it.
100%. Yeah, and they did a really good job putting together this match, and like it told a good story with the time that they were given.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Io selling the leg was really good throughout the whole match and how it played a role. Stephanie being resilient, and we get at least, you know, intriguing possibilities coming out of this match where you're like, okay, now we'll see what happens, you know, with this person carrying the division and all the possibilities that they get to face. And we already know who the next opponent is. Well, barring half of the other part of the match, because we got confirmation on something at this show as well.
Yeah, it will be champion versus champion at Crown Jewel when Stephanie Vaquer either takes on Tiffany Stratton, Nia Jax, or Jade Cargill. We'll figure that out Friday.
And honestly, I think any of those three going against Stephanie Vaquer will probably be a pretty good match. Hopefully it's Tiffy time, in my opinion, but if we get either Jade or Nia as well, intriguing possibility.
Very, very intriguing. Yeah, Stephanie wins the vacated title. You guys said match of night. I can't disagree.
Nice celebration at the end of the match as well.
Yeah. So Brent, explain why you, the ending, just why you thought of something.
So what got me was Stephanie goes up and hits her Spinal Tap, the corkscrew plancha senton, whatever it is. And
so that's a good description, yeah.
And the problem is Stephanie in her pin rolls back while hooking the leg of Io, and it looks like her shoulders are back on the mat as well. So Io is like folded over on her shoulders, and it also looks like Stephanie is back there like flat on the mat. And so I saw 1, 2, 3, and for a second I was like, wait, are they doing a weird finish here? And then it was just like, nope, winner and new, Stephanie. And I was like, oh, okay. And they didn't show the shoulders on the recap, which was good. But it just, the way that pin happened, it had me sitting there for a second going, wait, were her shoulders? But, huh. So it just seemed awkward for me.
I think if we had another angle, her shoulder was probably tilted a little bit, but from the angle they showed, you could tell she looked like it was on the ground. Again, yeah. Angles are everything. Then for the first time in 10... Go ahead.
I was going to say, especially if they're Kurt angles.
Yeah.
I okay. For the first time in 10 years, AJ Lee makes her return to a WWE ring, teaming up with CM Punk, her husband, to take on Becky Lynch and Seth freaking Rollins.
They did such a good job waiting to bring her in to the match itself.
The first 15 minutes or so, this was your basic tag team formula match where every old school trick you could do, they did.
To keep someone out of a match for 15 minutes? Absolutely.
And every trick in the old school trick in the book to a T. But it worked.
Oh, it worked because you were getting those fans like frothing at the mouth to get AJ. Becky did perfect as a heel of, you know, yeah, I'll start the match off, I'll start the match tag. And then as soon as she gets tagged back in, she's doing everything she can to keep separate from AJ and run around the ring, get back, tag Seth back in. And it all Punk did a great job in selling the frustration, too, because you could just see him looking at him like, are you fucking serious?
But she did such a great job at overselling fear of her opponent.
And the one thing I loved about Punk, though, was not necessarily, I mean, he was frustrated at the situation, but you also saw the look on his face throughout the match of just like, all right, I'm just going to get my hands on Seth then. This is fine. And that's what I liked about that first interaction they had. It's like Seth is sitting there cocky and Punk is just getting into his face like, nah, you're going to be in this ring with me then. I'm cool with it. Which I think plays well because Seth's cocky the whole time, but it's another thing if you're facing Punk and Punk wants to get his hands on you. But when they finally did make that tag, oh shit.
Yeah.
And it was such a great spot too of Becky trying to hold him back and Punk selling it like, you've got my leg. Are you really think this is going to stop me?
Blows her a kiss and then slaps her.
Yeah, and you just see the realization on her face too of like, I'm trying to stop you, and then it's just that moment hits where it's like the inevitability has just hit her. I cannot stop this moment now. I am screwed.
It's like when a kid like wraps its entire body around like an adult's leg and is just like, I'll just keep walking.
Yeah, I'll carry you across the line and still tag, and then the reckoning. But I will say AJ did well in her first match back.
Yeah.
She you know, performed her offense and moves well. She sold well. There was a moment where Punk, you could tell, checked on her for real concern on the outside.
That was the double table spot.
Yeah. Because that table didn't break when she hit it, and then she was at the crux of it breaking, and so it was just like, honey, are you okay?
Yeah, look, bottom line, it was not the best mixed doubles tag match you could have ever had or have ever seen. That wasn't the point of it. You expected the ring rust that you saw, and it was there. There was a little bit of trepidation at spots, and it's a case of, you're seeing this, and you don't give a damn. The match was fun and entertaining. And I just want to point out, you guys know who Tom Wilson is?
Tom Wilson?
Yeah. He played Biff in the Back to the Future movies.
Okay. Oh. Yep.
Yeah, now I know.
Okay. Now, he goes out and does stand-up comedy routines and appearances and stuff like that. And one of his things is he wrote a song that answers all the questions that his fans ask him. And one line of the song, somebody's getting overly nitpicky about plot holes in the movies, and he stops. And it's a movie. And just reading some of the stuff that I've read over the last little while, oh, Becky, you know, she's the man and she's all this, that, and the other thing. And then she freaks the freak out over AJ. And I'm like, it's wrestling entertainment, dude. Suspend your goddamn disbelief for the story, because it was entertaining. It was fun. Don't worry about her being able to beat all the girls after Nia busts her open the hard way and concusses her to make her the man initially. Forget all of that toughness and stuff like this. This is a different thing altogether. It's a different movie.
I was going to say, there's two things about that. One, she's playing the heel, so the heel's always going to be a little bit more cowardly. Two, even more psychologically, yeah, she may be a tough person. She may be like, you know, I took the shot from Nia and I was able to fight and I can take on anyone. There's another element to it of like, if you're facing your idol or someone that you know.
Or somebody who was your mentor.
Right, someone who's up a level that either you are at or higher. It would be that kind of thing of like, you could be the toughest person in the room. If Brock Lesnar walks into the room, you're going to go,
I'll be over here sitting down. See ya.
Yeah, you're going to be like, oh, God. Okay. Yeah. Hold on a second. So even though, like, AJ is a bit smaller than Becky, she also has the history, the gravitas to stand up to Becky. And also, we've talked about it in the lead up to this. And, you know, they mentioned it when she was on SportsCenter. She's crazy as shit. So it's one of those things of, you don't know what's going to happen.
That was her character, a bit of a psychopath. You're not really sure. She can snap any second, and we have seen her snap.
I mean,
so we all know it's possible and could happen. Watch your ass, because you don't want to be around a psychopath when they snap.
I mean, Rock, there could have been a four-way kiss in this match, right? According to AJ.
According to AJ, that was going to happen. Punk was like, nah.
Punk went right onto the wheels and went, not happening. I just heard it. Not happening at all. Great moment.
But, you know, the point is, quit being such nerds over professional wrestling storylines and angles. Just enjoy the moment. And that is exactly what I did with this match. I enjoyed the moment. I knew that we were going to get a whole bunch of CM Punk and Seth beating on each other. And I'm like, they're going to wait forever before they finally tag AJ in. And when they do, the crowd is going to go ballistic. And that's exactly what happened.
And you can almost think that, like, this match may not have been as well received if it was 100% serious. You've got to have, especially when you have, like, the character that AJ is, you've got to kind of play into a little bit of that sort of slapsticky comedy stuff. And like, those are the things, especially when you have, you know, someone whose character is AJ Lee, she comes back for her first match. Those are the things that the fans are wanting to see. They want to see a little bit of like her being a lunatic, and you can't have someone whose character is a psychopath be a psychopath in the way that AJ Lee was a psychopath if it's a serious knockdown, drag-out slugfest.
And there, ladies and gentlemen, is the indie pro wrestling expert at having not serious matches.
Yeah, what? Like, I wouldn't expect to see that in, like, you know, that three-way match between Drew, Gunther, and Sheamus. You don't do stuff like that because, like, they built it up as, like, no, I mean, none of them were ever, when you have that build-up, none of it's going to be fun or slapsticky, but Drew has done matches with comedy in it. Sheamus has done matches with comedy in it. And those are two guys that will still go out and beat the piss out of each other. You can pick and choose your moments. You can pick and choose how you have your matches to, one, maybe change up the format of the show so that, well, what's going to stand out in our match that we can do differently from everybody else is that people will think about. Well, that one, comedy. Makes sense.
Well, you have in your career, Keish, you have worked a shit ton of comedy matches.
Yeah.
Now, this is a bit of a pat on the back that I'm giving you here. I have seen a shit ton of your matches over the years, and like seriously, you are an absolute master of it because you entertain all of the people at the halls that come out to watch, and they get a good laugh at some of the antics and shit that's going on, but at the same time you give them a reason to buy into the believability.
Yeah, 100%. And I mean, every once in a while I'll change it up, and depending on who I'm wrestling, I'll have serious matches without comedy in them, and they still work. It's about, you know, it's about a story. So like, depending on who you're wrestling, how you want to tell that story. And like, yep, I said before, doing something that will maybe set your match apart slightly different from everything else on the show.
You know, like, in all sincerity, I'm not like gaslighting or stroking egos or anything like that. Brent, if you have ever find yourself given the opportunity of watching video of a Keishi match online, and you can find lots of bits of clips here and there on like YouTube and stuff, go and watch what he does.
Well, I was gonna say, I watched Keishi's title win.
okay
we had that moment. But yeah, no, if you can pull off comedy well, it can add something to the match. And honestly, Seth and Becky are comedy characters at heart, is what some people may forget, because the whole thing about Seth and his wardrobe is it's over the top. It's crazy as shit. Becky, it's the same way.
Deliver it as a mofo.
and the thing is, look how they made their entrance yesterday. They were on the giant lift and came down, and it was, you know, glory unto us. The entire thing they were selling from the beginning was comedy, because don't forget how Friday ended.
Yeah, watching that entrance, it just had like visions of SpongeBob pop into my brain here and there.
But I mean, like, they played off the storyline on Friday from before of, you know, Punk bringing AJ back because I'm not going to hit a lady, but I have someone who will. And Seth drops that line on Friday. And of course, the whole thing is Becky looks at him like, the hell? No, nah, bro, I'm out. I'm done.
That's not what I'm here for.
Right. I'm not here for this. I'm not doing this. And I mean, yes, it was to pull a sneak attack, but at the same time, comedy is at the heart of their characters and this whole storyline. So yeah, if we have moments in the match where it's that kind of thing, it's not going to be all serious, and it adds something extra to the match rather than just being straight wrestling, because you can have people give a straight wrestling match, it can turn out great, and at the same time, you can have a straight wrestling match and people will go, oh, okay.
Yeah.
Punk and AJ got the win.
Becky More tapped. Specifically, AJ got the win.
AJ got the win, Becky tapped out.
Which will, you know, fuel things when she comes out to cut a promo this week, if she does.
It will send Becky over the edge.
Because you know that crowd's just going to chant, you tapped out, you tapped out. And Becky right now does not want to hear voices in her head.
Yeah, I would make sure that I had a plant or two in the audience to start that chant, just to make sure.
Oh, well, all she has to do is say, you know, like, oh, I didn't tap or something, and the crowd will just jump on it. And then, yeah, you're just...
I can already see it. There was a bug on me, because you watched the way she was tapping. She was hitting all over her body.
Yep.
There was a bug. I was trying to squash a bug.
I was trying to hit her. I was trying to hit her, and it looked, you know, the referee, being blind as a bat, couldn't see I was trying to hit her and thought I was tapping. And yeah, it just grows from there.
Your main event of the show is for the undisputed WWE Championship. Cody Rhodes, Drew McIntyre.
I mean, I don't know. I thought these guys put together a good match. They wrestle well together. And like, you could tell when you watch this, everything they did had a reason. Obviously, you know, that's kind of the way that Cody likes to put together matches. And it makes sense that Drew does too. Like, Drew knows what gear to be in for what match he's in. He can go out there and slug it out. He can go out there and do comedy stuff and, like, you know, put out social media posts in the middle of the match. Or he can have something like this that is storytelling with moves and actions and do it up properly. So, like, you got to give it to both of these guys for, like, understanding the assignment, if you will.
It's a shame to think Drew got cut at one point and we're seeing the kind of matches we get from him.
Yeah.
But it also proves that, like, yeah, go out on the indies, get yourself, you know, more matches, more cred, come back. And he was able to change the whole dynamic from being viewed as 3MB to being the Scottish psychopath that we now know. And the thing, I think, especially is the fact that Drew is a credible contender for a title off the rip now.
Yeah.
The work that he put in over the pandemic, the work he put in NXT, just proves that, like, in this instance, he went out, put Cody through the front of the announce table, sent him off to film his movie, carried it on social media, and then was able to put this match together all on his strength. Because Cody did not cut a promo until, like, what, the week before?
Yeah. You have to give all kinds of credit to Drew and his ability to adapt and change and seemingly work with everybody and make things work no matter what's sort of handed to him.
And I especially like the kind of finish that we got here with going back to the spot that set this all up, but it going sideways. Because there's that moment where Drew's sitting there and, like, you know, he gets the voices in his head. And he goes to deliver the claymore and puts his leg through the announce table because Cody moves. And then, yeah, that just wrecked him.
Excellent sell job on that, too.
Mm-hmm.
It was a good match and it entertained. It did what it was supposed to do, right?
It put it put a championship match in the main event. And that's the manager was wondering why it was not in the main event. The Mex tag was not in the main event. Because the championship match on a ESPN show made it clear, like, here's our main event, a clean-cut championship match. No interference, no shenanigans, a straight-up match, to end it, a championship fight.
From the point of view of a wrestling purist, it was the wrong main event match, though. It should have been the other world title match.
What other world title match?
Well, the other title match, the women's title match.
Why would that have been the main event?
That should have been the main event.
No, it shouldn't have.
Yeah.
No.
Not for an ESPN sponsored show.
You're missing my point, kids. There's a reason why it was Cody and Drew, but if you're an avid wrestling fan who's into the best match of the night should close the match, should close your show, it would have been the women's title match.
But that's in the eye of the beholder.
I'm not saying that they got it wrong. I'm giving you a perspective from, you know, like the hardcore nutballs that all of us are.
Again, that's in the eye of the beholder, because there could be a big majority of the crowd who thought the main event was the best match.
Oh, now you're just speculating to be the devil's advocate on that.
You're speculating, saying it was the third match on the show was the best match. That's speculating. That's opinion.
Match of the night. That's all there is to it.
In your opinion,
yeah, I brooked no dissent.
But there was no guarantee that match was going to be match of the night.
Exactly. Please, tell me you picked up on my point.
And again, it's all opinion.
I reject your reality and substitute my own.
You do that often.
And you, like, you need to duck because you're going to get hit by the wheels. Anyway.
Oh, I know. Trust me.
Quit no selling shit, you dummy.
But Cody retained. Anyway. It was the spot. It was what had Cody Rhodes standing tall, ESPN's first show. Woohoo.
And we now know our setup for Perth.
It's Rollins versus Rhodes in Perth for the Crown Jewel Championship. It is.
Cody's defending his Crown Jewel.
He's defending his Crown Jewel. Liv Morgan can't defend hers, but it'll be Stephanie versus either Nia, Tiffany, or Jade as your two main events for Perth and Australia. You'll probably have a Rhea Ripley match. Probably the tag with Io.
Probably.
And the Kabuki Warriors.
We might even see Bronson Reed on the card. Who knows?
Who knows? According to Brandon, it could be John Cena versus Bronson Reed. Who knows? we'll see how things transpire, but Brent has housekeeping.
I have housekeeping. All right. It's time for checkout. No, I'm kidding. So we had 12 people make their, or 12 items make their picks for Wrestlepalooza.
Mm-hmm.
In 12th place, the only one going under 500 at 2-3 was the Magical Wheel of Fun.
All right.
Where are you expected to be?
In 7th place, at 3-2, we have the 8-Ball, Rob.
It sounded for a second like you were calling Rob an 8-Ball.
No, the 8-Ball, Rob, Sarah, Subway, and Tommy. In second place, going 4-1, myself, Lindsay, Rock, Sheila, and Tim. Which means, if you've been keeping score at home, there is someone all alone in first place.
Congratulations.
It is the one and only Keishi Matsunaga.
Yay! I picked good.
I would have been with you had I picked Stephanie over Io.
If I did that...
I mean, Rock, Lindsay, and I would have all been there if, you know, Cena would have put up more of a fight.
Yeah, I mean, coulda, woulda, shoulda. Lindsay says she would have been 5-0.
It was a bad pick.
She could have picked Brock.
Forgot and thought that I had actually picked Cena to win.
So there you go. That'll do it for WTS Sunday Night Wrestle Talk Radio. Tomorrow night, it's the Raw Post Show. Whatever Raw ends, like 9:30-ish now. We'll be live to talk about it. Thursday night, 10 p.m. Eastern, another edition of Rack. Lindsay will give her take on Wrestlepalooza and all the news you can handle. It's Rack Thursday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern. CB Radio will be live this Saturday at 11:30 p.m. Eastern. And we will be back next Sunday night at 10 p.m. Eastern for another edition of WTR Sunday Night Wrestle Talk Radio. It's at Wild Talk Radio. Facebook.com/WildTalkRadioNetwork. And at WTR Sunday Night on Facebook and Twitter. Yes, Tim.
What?
You were trying to interject something?
Oh, I was going to say programming note. I won't be here next week.
Tim won't be here, so we'll probably talk AEW. Casey perked up. We'll talk some AEW next week.
Because there was a show and we can actually talk about it.
We'll talk about things related to AEW next week on WTR Sunday Night, but Tim has social media.
Yeah, follow me at Flims Forums because I post several times a day.
Casey is on social media that he doesn't use.
Yeah, I am nowhere near as intelligent as people like Becky Lynch, who has already posted on social media that she was attacked by a rogue bee, and that is why it looked like she tapped out. So, but you can find me not posting stuff like that at Kyle Driver.
But hey, he's on the social. Brent.
Yeah, you can find me on variety of social media, Twitter/X, Threads, Instagram, Blue Sky, at either Kane Kittens or Kane.Kittens. I may make some tweets during PLEs or pay-per-views or whatever events may be happening, so keep an eye out, because I can make friends sometimes.
Chat, as a reminder, if you have Amazon Prime, link it to your Twitch account. It's called Prime Gaming Support Shop. By clicking the purple button below the screen, you can use career code ROCKETSOCK in the Fortnite shop by the Batmobile from 1998. Or Daft Punk that's coming. Borderlands skins. I don't know. Stuff. There's all these things. Buy it. Do the thing. Hashtag Epic Partner. Now Tim sends us home.
Well, that's it. Hope you enjoyed our some blues, and don't forget the gang will be at it next Sunday night, 10 o'clock Eastern, 8 o'clock Mountain, for another edition of WTR Sunday Night. That being said, go to bed. You got school in the morning. Good night.
WildTalkRadio.com.